from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I want to address something. Yeah. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Yeah. All right, we got that out of the way. Okay. Want to address something that friend of the show in P1, Joey B, lit up on the stream just a minute ago. You should stream the show. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate. The Fan Upstate on YouTube. The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch, if you'd like to join the stream. Good morning to everybody that's in there. Mac and Joey B and Shane and everybody else that's popped by. Joey B said, equity firms, I don't care. I'm doing it either way. Joey B said, equity firms and corporate ownership will always mean fans get less and will pay more for it. That is correct. When I was talking in the last segment and I said, you won't see an impact on Sundays, what I meant was in terms of on the field. It's not going to have an impact on the field. Right? The only impact will be felt financially, economically. It's one thing to add a minority owner, as in an individual billionaire, to the firm, because obviously that billionaire is going to come in with his own business philosophies and the ways that he wants to see the team run, and will make changes in order to adopt and adapt his or her strategies into how an organization is run. It will make a difference financially. It'll make a difference in terms of the salary cap, and it may have an impact on you, the fan, financially. But as I pointed out before, and there's two angles to this I'd like to approach. One of the things that I have spent some time talking about this offseason is what I think is going to be a fan experience that those of you that go to games will start to see become more prevalent as the years go by. And it connects to the second thing. Number one, college fan bases, big ones, blue blood schools, and NFL franchises. As I have said, because I don't like to, but I think it is important to unmask the reality of sports businesses to fans. I think it's important that you really know what's going on so that you can make informed decisions about it. Inevitably, about week two, week three, every NFL season, I get a text to whatever show it is that I am doing that says, Rob Brown, it is outrageous the cost of football nowadays. Inevitably, about week two, week three, I get a text that says, Rob Brown, I can't stand for this. I can't afford to take my seven-year-old son to his first football game. Now, I care. Genuinely, I care. Because I mean it. I can remember my first Major League Baseball game with my dad. I was 6 years old, and I remember him taking me to a Braves game at Fulton County Stadium. And I remember the awe and the mystique in my twinkling naive eyes as a child when I got to see a big league game for the first time. I remember my first Saints game in the old Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana. I mean, it's the same Superdome, but there's been a lot of upgrades since then. But I remember my first Saints game at the old Superdome. It was against the San Francisco 49ers back when the Saints were, inexplicably, in the old NFC West. I remember it. I know that is for any dad who is a sports dad to take your child to their first big league game, NFL, MLB, NBA, whatever. Whatever is your connection with your kid. I know that that's a massive deal. I know that's a hallmark. That is a core memory for you as a dad, and I know it's a core memory for your child. Trust me. I know that. I understand it. It's one of the memories of my dad that despite the fact that I lost him almost 15 years ago, I'll still never forget. So I get it. But I also think it is important that you understand the rationale why you can't. And the answer is because these businesses, and yes, I am talking about your school too, they do not care about butts in seats. They just care that they don't care which butts are in seats. They care that butts are in seats. All right? They want the butt in the seat. They just don't care what the butt it is. They don't care if it's a father bringing his seven-year-old son to his first NFL game or two billionaire bank executives who have all the money in the world to burn. They don't care. They care the ticket gets sold, all right? And they don't even really care about that. They have a number, all right? I've worked with professional sports franchises for most of my career. Not the top level yet, but I've worked with minor league teams of every level. From tiny little backwoods local baseball teams to two steps away from the NHL. I've worked with professional sporting events. And let me tell you what happens. Upstairs of your favorite team, college, pro, don't matter. There are suits. And there are suits and they walk around all day and they got a little iPad. Like I do with the tablet. That's not an iPad. It's a Galaxy tablet. It's better than an iPad. But they walk around with their little iPad. And they got little graphs on there. You know, I'm a big graph guy. They got little graphs on there. And that graph has a bunch of numbers. And they go, all right, this was this game sale, and this was this game, and here's our quota. And at the end of the year, did we sell enough at the various big games to cover up the little games to meet the quota? And if the answer to that is no, they got to figure out how to fix it. And if the answer to that is yes, they did good. Here's the example that I've used. Florida State University the last couple of years, with the exception of last year, was pretty mediocre at football. And ticket sales reflected that. Florida State University came up with a solution. The solution was not improve the game day experience. The solution damn sure wasn't make the tickets cheaper, which would help. No. That wasn't the solution. What Florida State University decided that they were going to do this offseason is they were going to demolish about 5,500 seats on the home team side, mid-first level, directly behind the FSU bench. Did they upgrade those seats? Did they put in new, cushiony, soft seats with drink holders and nice big debut cushions to sit on? No, they didn't do that. You know what they did? They knocked out 5,500 seats, and they built a VIP viewing area. And that VIP viewing area doesn't have seats. It has tables with chairs, like an outside restaurant, like a gastropub. And they have waiters and servers and a private bar just for that area. And so what they did was they said, all right, we're going to remove the opportunity for about 4,000 people to see a game. And we're going to make an area that seats a quarter of that total to replace it. But we're going to sell tickets to that area for a buttload more money. And we're going to get very rich people to buy the opportunity to have that experience at the cost of 55, well, let's say 45-ish, 100 regular people who would buy regular seats.
Thanks for looking at me when you said regular. I appreciate
it. Well, I was looking at us. I just can't see me. I think that Florida State basically said, why sell 5,500 tickets at $100 a piece when we could sell 1,000 tickets at $600 a piece, have to worry about less, spend less on beer, spend less on food, all that goes into the profit margin. Why would we not sell fewer tickets for exponentially more money? Then sell more tickets at less money, have to do more work to accommodate that. Because again, these are all things that you don't think about until something like this comes up. But if you got 5,000 people versus 1,000 people, you know what else that is? That is the strain of 4,000 more people on your facilities. That is the strain of 4,000 more people having to use the restrooms, 4,000 more people clogging the line at the concession stands, 4,000 more people that have to check in with their tickets and have ticket checkers, 4,000 more people that you have to account for security, 4,000 more people that you got to do all these things to accommodate 4,000 more people, or you can make more money on 4,000 less people, spend less money on food and drink to cover them, spend less money on facility updates and maintenance, because I got 4,000 less people that got to use the can in the second quarter. I got 4,000 less people that I got to check in at the ticket stand. I can probably get rid of 4, 5, 6 security guards for 4,000 fewer people and make more money. They don't care that it's your butt in the seat. Never have. And on top of that, when they raise tickets, I'll tell you a background conversation that I've had in the past with Diesel a number of times. The real Diesel and I have had this conversation a couple of times. Because I say, I go to as many live games as I can. I love live football. I love live football. I love sitting about halfway up in the stadium and getting that Madden cam view to pay attention to and to watch. I prefer football. Diesel's the opposite. Diesel has said, unless it is my team, and even sometimes when it is, I want to sit at home on my couch where the beer costs $1.50 per 12 ounces, not $15.50 per 12 ounces, where I don't have to wait in line for the food. I just push the push the popcorn button on the microwave, right? I don't have to go through all
that.
It
is Diesel. He might be carrying around a microphone.
That's also true. He's got a vibe. He's got an aura to uphold. I don't have to wait in line for the bathroom. I don't have to ask anybody to scoot over so I can slide past them to get to my seat in the middle of the aisle. I don't have to do any of that. And on top of that, TVs are bigger and cheaper than they've ever been. I got a TV at my house now, 75 inches wide. I can see the blades of grass on the field at this point.
See, this is surprising from him. It's not a surprising take coming from me. I mean, because Diesel appears to be more of a people person. So he seems to be more of a guy who would like to be out there in the crowd.
See, here's the thing. There is a difference between being a people person and being a crowd person. I'm not a crowd. I hate being in big crowds, but I'm willing to do it for experiences, right? I'm willing to stand in the middle of 76,000 screaming Stapomaniacs to see Creed play. I'm happy to sit in the middle of 110,000 people to watch a college football game that I really want to see. But I'll also tell you, there's plenty of games that even if they were in my backyard, I'm like, yeah, I'm not interested in that, right? Like a Florida Miami, I'm very interested in going to watch. Hawaii Delaware State, yeah, I'm going to stay at home and watch that on TV. It's going to be the same game, and I got a better view, and the beer's colder and cheaper, and I'll have to push past people to get to my seat. Yada yada. I understand it.
Pause if you need to.
Bingo. I don't have to stand in line in the bathroom. Like these are, it's all fair. So one of the responses to that from football has been, all right, if less of you want to come to a game, fine. We'll sell less seats. We'll just sell the ones that are selling for more money, and that way we don't lose cash. That's the game plan. That is the game plan. That is the playbook for folks. And here's the thing. If a private private equity firm, I've already told you, you don't have to like the thought of it, but even your favorite owner in professional sports, yes, even your owner, there is not an owner in the NFL that owns a team and is cool with losing money on it. They don't look at their investment the way that you look at a TV, right? If it ain't making money, it ain't worth the time. There's not a billionaire owner in the National Football League that if they get to the end of the year and their team is in the red for the season goes, okay, I'm good here, right? They're not. I love my team so much, I'm happy to throw away money on it. Nope, there's not. Even the best, even Arthur Blank. Arthur Blank has done more for the fans of the Falcons than any other owner in football. It's the cheapest game day experience you're going to find. Granted, it's because the Falcons have sucked for a while now, but it's the cheapest game day experience out there. He's still not going to be okay with losing money on the team, right? And if Arthur Blank, who has created the most fan-friendly experience in the National Football League, and y'all know I hate a Falcon. I don't like giving him credit for anything, but Arthur Blank has earned some credit for his goodwill towards the fans. If he is not willing to run this team at a loss, there is no world in which a private equity firm is going to be okay with buying in for 10% and then having the team not be as profitable as possible. There is a future. I don't see it happening because I think even rich people are sports fans. But there is a future out there where NFL game attendance is down to like 32,000 people because tickets are $500, right? If I can sell, and I said this a second ago, I'll say it again because I think it holds up. If I can sell 5,000 tickets at $100, or I can sell 500 tickets at $1,500, selling 500 tickets at $1,500 makes me more money. I'm going to do that. Does it do damage to the game day environment? Sure. Don't care. I'm making more money. That's going to be the mentality of an owner. Right? I don't care if there's half the people, if they are paying me a third more money. That's the reality of this. And if private equity firms are getting involved, I promise you they want to make money even more than the billionaire owners of NFL teams do. So they're going to be even more hardcore. I promise you if the Falcons sell 10% to an equity firm, that equity firm is going to demand Arthur Blank raise those beer prices. Beer prices in the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta are like $7. It's not much higher than what you're buying a 12-ounce beer for at your local bar, right? But if an equity firm gets involved, they're going to go, yo, people will pay $12, charge $12. People are buying beers for $11.50, charge $11.50. That's going to be, it won't change what you see on the field on a Sunday. It will change what you experience in the stadium and the atmosphere that comes across that TV on a Sunday. That's probably how I should have said it. All right, let's talk some X's and O's and some Week 1 football when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Alonzo, with you here. It is Wednesday morning. Week one football begins tomorrow. Tomorrow, I love you. Tomorrow, you're only a day away. It's a good slate of competitive games, if not marquee. Right, tomorrow night. It's a good slate of competitive games, if not marquee games. You got NC State in action tomorrow, but they're taking on Western Carolina. You've got Missouri, number 11 team in the country tomorrow, taking on Murray State at 8 p.m. You got Kansas. That's a top 22 team. And a team that a lot of folks think could be a dark horse to win the Big 12 outright this year. Big 12's real interesting to me. Because, great one, the Big 12 is the most parity-filled team in football this year. It is the most parity-filled conference in football this year. There is, and I've went through and looked at it, all right? The teams I don't think can win the conference, dramatically shorter than the list of teams I think can. I don't know if Baylor can win it. I don't think BYU can win it. I don't think Houston can win it. I don't think TCU can win it this year, and I don't think West Virginia can win it, though I do think West Virginia is interesting. By the way, Saturday at noon, there's another game going on because we got Clemson, Georgia coming up at noon on Saturday. We've got, who's the other game? There's one more like early game in that slot, but then there's a game that I have very close eyes on. Penn State is at West Virginia. That game's in Morgantown. I'd keep an eye on that game. That game could get real, real interesting in Morgantown, West Virginia. Because Neil Brown's got his back against the wall. And this is a very, very good West Virginia team. At least talent on paper compared to what they've been in years gone by. But Neil Brown's, the patience has worn thin. Neil Brown's only 2 games over .500 in his time in Morgantown. And that's not ideal. But I also think Neil Brown is a builder. And I think I'm giving that guy probably 2 more years before I write it off. They can beat Penn State. Because Penn State, what's been the allergy for Penn State? Big time games, right? narrative. Sometimes the narrative is the narrative for a reason. The narrative of Penn State being unable to win the big game was, under James Franklin is the narrative because they've been unable to win the big games under James Franklin. I think they've lost to you guys, what, four seasons in a row now? They've lost to Ohio State? I mean, constantly.
Well, the same thing happened to Michigan, and then they started winning. So, I mean, I don't know that you can just automatically count it as a win.
Oh, I'm not. Let me be very clear. I'm not writing it off. They got a new offensive coordinator at Penn State, one who is a much more, I think, Drew Aller-friendly offensive coordinator, an offensive coordinator that I think is going to do the opposite of what Penn State has been to me under James Franklin, the team that goes, this is what we're going to do. No matter what you throw, this is what we're going to do. You put seven in the box, but we decided we're running the ball this game. We're running the ball into seven. Doesn't matter if we don't have the numbers. This is what we're going to do. They're working with a new offensive coordinator this year and an offensive coordinator that is much more in line with we're going to do whatever it is that you give us. Andy Kotelnicki comes over from Kansas. And I think if you go watch the Rock Chalk Jayhawks the last couple of years, it's a very fluid offense. They're going to play to what is given. If you're going to stack seven in the box, we're going to add an extra blocker in the box, and we're gonna go with a quick pass. Because if you're putting seven in the box, it means somebody's got to be left open somewhere. We're going to find them. And that, to me, is the game I think you have to play with Drew Aller as your starting QB. But West Virginia's got some athletes. Not the most talented guys, but they're hard-headed. They're bloodthirsty. So I like that game a lot. That one could be good. It's on at the same time as Clemson and Georgia is at noon on Saturday. But I think Arizona with Noah Fifita is a chance to win this. I think Arizona State's got a chance to win it. Look, you're going to laugh. But I'm telling you right now, Gus Malzahn has now had the time at UCF to go build the talent around him that will play well for Gus Malzahn. And if you're like me, and you think Gus Malzahn kind of caught a bit of a raw deal at Auburn, as a couple of Auburn coaches have, they've caught raw deals, they were let go solely because, and remember this conversation, eerily similar to the conversation we've had about Ryan Day this offseason at Ohio State. Auburn coaches have been let go a couple of times, I think, because of their inability to beat Nick Saban, right? That's all they cared about. You got to beat Alabama. You got to beat Bama. And you didn't beat Bama for two times or three times in a row. You got to go. Doesn't matter if it takes time to grow a team. You got to go. And I think Malzahn's one of those guys. I actually like Gus Malzahn at UCF. And now, not only has he had the time to bring in some dudes, Gus Malzahn worked the portal, I would argue, about as well as anybody in the country has this year. I really like the Golden Knights. And then you add in, they went and got KJ Jefferson, who is a top-notch athlete to play quarterback. That's what Gus Malzahn needs. The 2017 national champions, the UCF Golden Knights, are going to be in the mix in the Big 12 this year. Cincinnati, that's a team Lonzo's picked to grab an at-large bid in the group of 12 this year, in the playoff 12. There is one more team I don't think can win this conference, and that's Colorado. They're going to stink this year, but we'll put that to bed for a minute. Houston's going to be better this year. Iowa State is going to impress some people this year. Kansas is going to be good again. Kansas State is going to be a contender for an at-large playoff spot, if not the Big 12 championship game. This conference has got probably 8-9 teams in it that can genuinely win the conference. Genuinely, this conference may send its two conference champs via multiple tiebreakers. That might be how they determine the two teams going to play for a title this year. So, you know, I look at that, and I'm intrigued by the Big 12 right out of the gate. We talked a lot about this conference and some of these teams last night on BetMGM tonight, which I am in for one more evening with my guy Ryan Horvath tonight, 7 till 11 right here on the Fan Upstate. If you need a little more Rob Brown in your life, 7 to 11 p.m. right here on the Fan Upstate on BetMGM tonight. I look at this conference? I look at this conference, great one, the way I look at the AFC South this year. I think any team in the AFC South can win that division this year. I think the Houston Texans absolutely can repeat. I also think the Tennessee Titans are good enough to win it this year. I also think the Jacksonville Jaguars are good enough if they don't have another melt. They should have won it last year. Jacksonville should have won it last year, but they melted down. If they got rid of that, they can win it this year. And I think the Indianapolis Colts can win that division. That being said, I don't think any one of those four teams is a legitimate Super Bowl threat. The Texans got another year, I think. The Colts, I don't know that we know enough about Anthony Richardson for me to say, yeah, he's good and a Super Bowl threat. I think he's good, but I think I'm a year away from saying I consider that guy a guy that I could put up in an AFC title game against Mahomes and feel good about it. The Titans, entirely new coaching staff, got rid of Derrick Henry. I really like Captain Mayonnaise, Will Levis at quarterback. You know what Will Levis's over-under passing yardage is this year? It's 4,600 yards for Will Levis. That's what Vegas thinks he's going to be around.
And he's going to smell phenomenal.
And he's going to smell like mayo and football musk. The scent of greatness. Smell like greatness. Gotta love Will Levis. Dude, leaning into that's the best. I think that any one of those teams can win that division. And I think none of those teams can win the Super Bowl. That's kind of how I feel about the Big 12 this year. I think there's a lot of teams that can win it. I don't necessarily consider any of them a genuine threat to the teams that are at the top of the Big 10, the top of the SEC. Hell, I don't think I put any of those teams at the top of the heavy part of the ACC.
I was going to ask you which conference you think is a better conference, them or the ACC.
Honestly, I think the Big 12 is better than the ACC, top to bottom.
Do we know who really the top of the ACC is? I guess the assumption now is Clemson, but we haven't seen them play.
I think you know who the top of the ACC is, as in which teams are most likely to be there. I think the answer now is Clemson, Miami, and if you're going to say NC State, I think you still got to say FSU as well. I mean, it's one loss and to a team that Rob Brown spent literally months telling you all Georgia Tech's going to beat somebody this year. They're going to ruin somebody's season. And they did.
SMU's undefeated. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I really want to be on the Stang wagon, but they looked like butt. They look like the butt this past weekend. I'm back off SMU.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Back off SMU. The point here is, if you ask me top to bottom, like 1 to 16, the Big 12 is better than the ACC. It's not at the top. If we're matching the top four teams from both, I'd take the ACC. But if we're matching top to bottom, yeah, the Big 12 is a better conference. I think this conference is going to give us some good football. And I don't think they'll be rewarded for it. They will all knock each other out of contention for an at-large spot. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got one more segment to clean everything up. Then we got what the X is going on. And then we go home as we finish up the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I was not going to bring this up, but now I'm obligated to. Lonzo sends me a DM on Twitter. Zo slid into my DMs at like 5:15 this morning.
It was earlier than that.
It
was more like 4:15.
Yeah, it was. Golly, sleep in, Lonzo. Gosh. So, ESPN, according to Dove Kleiman, ESPN asked 103 NFL players who is the most overrated quarterback in the league. Here's the list. Tied for sixth, Kyler Murray and Brock Purdy. No issue with those. I'm kind of over the everybody look out, here comes Kyler takes this offseason. Yep, they got him a wide receiver. I don't know how much that fixes. He's had him before, and he's not done much with him. Brock Purdy, I've given you my take on Brock Purdy a lot of times. I think Brock Purdy is a good quarterback that is being uplifted by a great team, not a great quarterback who uplifts a good team. If you're a great quarterback, I think you uplift the team. If you're a good quarterback, you are uplifted by them. That's Brock Purdy. Number five, Deshaun Watson. Don't have an issue with that. Same thing. I've heard take after take. Well, if Deshaun's back, the Browns are going to be an AFC. I don't think so, guys. I don't think so. It's been a couple of years since Deshaun's been good. Number four, Trevor Lawrence. I don't agree, but I don't have an issue with the player saying this. Here's why I don't agree with Trevor Lawrence. Who is rating him right now to be overrated? Who is putting him in the upper echelon of quarterbacks to say he's overrated? I think he's perfectly rated. I think everybody has said.
A ton of people said that when he came out, and even you. Oh, well, it's not his fault the first year, so it's not really his rookie season. It's his rookie season because of Urban Meyer, and he's going to do better. And they did get
do well in
the playoffs. They dropped off.
I said, oh, I put him up there with Patrick Mahomes? No. I have said, I think he's fine. I think he's fine. Will he turn into a great quarterback? All the tools are there. All right? This year is a prove-it year for Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion. If he doesn't get it done this year, I'm done with Trevor Lawrence as an NFL quarterback. All right?
I think he's right where I thought it would be, and I don't think he gets much better than what he is.
I think he can get better.
Which is still a pretty good quarterback, just not great.
But I here's the thing, and I guess the reason I can't say he's overrated is because I don't hear many, if any, people saying he's anything more than a pretty good quarterback.
You just made the Clemson message boards again. Way to go.
I mean, listen, as I've said a million times, once you're in the league, I do not care about your college affiliation anymore. All right? I don't hang on to college affiliations.
They know. They listen. They care.
Don't care. I don't care if you care. All right? If you played for my college rival and you are a Saint now, I am your biggest fan. If you played for my college team and you're an Atlanta Falcon, I hope you stub your toe on the coffee table the night before our game. All right? That's it. Number three, Justin Herbert. Yeah, I think he's another guy that do I think he's going to be very good? Yes. Do I think he is very good? Yes. I also think he has played for, and I mean this, the worst NFL coach not named Urban Meyer in recent memory.
Come on, dude. Every year we hear, oh, this is Herbert's year. This is Herbert's year. This is Herbert's year. Is he a good quarterback? Yeah, he's a good quarterback, but I don't think he gets much better than what he is now.
And, I think he gets.
And he has almost always talked about before the season starts, and even at the beginning of the season, by all the people on TV.
I agree. And I think what that says is, this is what you and I are about to butt heads over when we get to number one on this list, which is the fight and the reason I brought it up. All right? Lonzo made me do this, y'all, not me.
We didn't do our customary fight in 6 a.m.
That's so, true. We didn't. We got to get to it now. We got to clean that up. Just by talking about the quarterback and what I think Lonzo does when we're talking about quarterbacks is ignore the context of the conversation around the quarterback as if he's the only guy on the football field, right? If this was purely a skills competition, both quarterback be quarterback and nobody else, then fine, we'll have the conversation.
Hey, what was this, list called?
I don't think.
What is this list called?
I don't think for a second that judging a quarterback solely on the quarterback is a thing you can do.
All right, since you said the players got this wrong, how are the players judging this quarterback list?
I honestly think the quarterbacks do it like you do it. They're just talking about the quarterback. If you look at
it's a quarterback list.
I understand, but to say there's no impact by 10 other guys on the football field on a quarterback's ability to succeed is dumb and wrong. It's dumb and wrong.
I don't disagree with the people who actually work in the business.
I do. Let's keep going. Chargers, Justin Herbert, number two. He worked for Brandon Staley. That guy was a joke. A joke, all right? Number two, there's a tie between Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts. I actually agree with both of these. I do. I think Tua Tagovailoa was a guy who excels in the Tyreek's down there somewhere style offense, right? I think he's a guy who exceeds in Cheetah's going to be open. I'm just going to wing it down there. I think he's okay. And Jalen Hurts, another guy. I agree. I think he's overrated. I think
Jalen Hurts is overachieved is what I think.
For this conversation, absolutely same thing. I agree entirely. I think Jalen Hurts got brought to a Super Bowl, not brought them to a Super Bowl. And there's nothing wrong with that, so that we're clear. I will take a quarterback who can bring a great team to a quarterback to a Super Bowl with a great team, as long as I'm a fan of a franchise that can build a great team. There's been a lot of those. I would argue there's more of those than there are elite quarterbacks, right? Number one on this list is Josh Allen. Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. voted by 103 players as the most, quote, overrated quarterback in the league. That is a take. All right? And if you want to go number by number, step by step.
By over 100 players.
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yes.
Every one of you are wrong. I know you
First
play against
wait,
this
stop,
guy
stop,
or,
stop,
or
stop,
alongside
stop,
this guy. Stop. Every single one of you are wrong.
Do not pretend that 103 players all said Josh Allen's the most overrated quarterback. That's not what happened here. This is a ranked system.
By the way, you don't know. You don't know that they
even,
all didn't do
Lonzo,
that.
Even if it wasn't, even if every guy had one vote, if it was 103 guys that said Josh Allen was voted for, the list would just be Josh Allen. But obviously, Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa got votes, or else they wouldn't be on the list.
By the way, we don't know if they didn't say, hey, name your top 10 overrated quarterbacks.
That's what I'm saying.
We don't know that.
I agree. What I'm saying is, it does not matter what the system is. No, 103 out of 103 players didn't all list Josh Allen at number one. It didn't happen. But let's talk about why it's a joke. I need one number.
So you're the 10th dentist.
Right.
Nine out of 10 dentists.
Right.
And you're the 10th dentist.
Right.
You're the one that doesn't get what everybody right. else gets.
Right.
That's you.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Right. Let's say that's true. Let's say 90 out of 103 players said Josh Allen is the most overrated quarterback in the NFL. They're still wrong. I am not allowing you to appeal to popularity. That is a logical fallacy that will get your thesis thrown out when you submit it. And I'm doing that here, all right? Here's why. I need one number. I need one number to bump this. Josh Allen, for the past two consecutive years, has had the highest winning percentage against winning teams and the highest QBR against winning teams of any quarterback in the league, including Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Derek Carr, all future Hall of Famers. The highest QBR, which is individual performance, and winning percentage, which is team performance against good teams, winning teams, of any quarterback in the league. He's got a higher QBR against winning teams than Mahomes, a higher winning percentage against winning teams than Lamar Jackson, who, by the way, is like 58-19 in his career. And Josh Allen's got him beat in QBR. I don't know what to tell you. When you look at the one metric that most I know football guys look at and say, this is the one metric that I will say is applicable to the individual performance. Why? Because it calculates on target throws, on time throws, avoiding avoidable sacks, not just taking ones that are unavoidable. It takes into consideration all of the statistics that are directly connected to the individual performance of the quarterback. Was that sack avoidable? Yes, it gets factored in. No, it gets factored in. Whatever. When you look at the one stat that stat nerds look at and go, this is a metric by which we gauge the individual, not team-based performance of a quarterback, Josh Allen has the highest QBR. That's actual performance, not paper, not words, not hype, performance on the football field. Goal line to goal line. The highest QBR against winning teams in the NFL of any quarterback. That's not overrated. That's performance.
All right. You did all that. You never really addressed the overrated part. Overrated is an opinion. So if every time you turn on the TV, they're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Why are they doing that? If every time you turn on the TV, they're talking about Josh Allen did this, Josh Allen did this. Chris Collinsworth nearly had an orgasm going, Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen. Okay? That's what makes players think that someone's overrated, because all they do is hear about how great the guy is over and over and over again. Then they get out on the field and he's just an NFL player. He doesn't stand out above
everybody
else. No, but
he does. I just gave you the number that stands out.
But again,
you don't like it, but it is the number that stands out.
Listen, I'm right on this, and that's fine.
Do you know why? Neither are these players.
Overrated is an opinion. It has nothing to do with stats. It has to do with whether you think, oh, yeah, he's good, or I don't know why everyone thinks he's that good.
Let me take that back. This is the old expression. opinions are like buttholes. Everybody's got one, and some of them stink. This is one of those ones that stinks because there is a metric in front of you by which you can objectively gauge a thing.
And you're talking about stats. You're not talking about opinions. And opinions is what over...
I'm trying to.
Right. No, you're not.
Yes,
I am. You haven't addressed an opinion yet. You're talking about the stats.
Your opinion stinks. That's my addressing the opinion. The opinion is wrong.
No.
It's a bad opinion.
Well, okay.
It's like somebody who says kale is better than chocolate. It's objectively a bad
opinion. I don't
think
anyone in the history of mankind has ever said that.
I bet you Dave Canales does.
That is a poor, poor
example.
The
point here is you have a metric by which to gauge the guy. The metric of individual performance, his is higher than anybody else's. So talking about him more than anybody else is rated because the rating, the QB rating, is the highest in the NFL. If you don't say anything else about it, that's the fact. Texter said, hey, now you can't say orgasm on the radio either, Lonzo. I mean, it's the technical term.
It's a scientific term.
Yeah, it is.
All right, the first thing is Xing.
Digga digga do.
Is Jim Harbaugh.
Anybody who just tuned in is like, what the hell are they talking about? Jim Harbaugh is trending because he's not Brandon Staley. He is a better coach. He's a coach who understands an offense, and therefore he's going to finally bring out the good in Justin Herbert and prove to you that Rob Brown, who knows ball, has been right all the time, and Justin Herbert's going to be a phenomenal quarterback. But that's not why he's trending. He's trending because he turned 67 today.
No, the Connor Stallions thing on Netflix dropped yesterday, which I didn't get a chance to watch, but I did see a video clip where Connor Stallions points out the game ball that he was given to him by Jim Harbaugh.
Conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy. Harbaugh lied. That's really what it comes down to.
Conspiracy.
All right.
What is Harbaugh going to say he gave him the game ball for? You got to ask him, right? If I'm a reporter at Chargers conference today when they're talking about the guys that they had to cut last night, question number. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here are the players that we unfortunately had to waive and did not make the active roster. Any questions? Yeah, Jim, what was Connor's game ball for?
And he says what the game ball is for. You should watch the clip. No, Jim doesn't, but Connor does.
Tell me. I don't care. No, I'm going to watch it tonight.
Watch the clip.
Do not.
I don't want to misquote it. It's very important.
Then why
would
you hype it up like that?
Because now everyone's going to go look at it. Duh.
Yeah, but
it's called teasing.
We don't make money off of that.
So you can say Lonzo told me to watch this, which Lonzo's on the Rob Brown show.
All right, Netflix, you owe Lonzo royalties.
Yeah, there we go. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Chadwick Boseman.
Chadwick Boseman. Rip to a legend, man. Chadwick Boseman, phenomenal Black Panther. No idea why he is trending.
Today was the day he passed.
Ah, okay. That
4 years
out.
Ago.
Golly. Time flies,
yes,
dude.
It does, especially once you hit 40.
Yeah,
man.
That stings a little bit.
Wait till February.
And in fairness, it was impactful because Chadwick Boseman has been in some of my favorite movies. His Jackie Robinson movie, 42, still one of might be my favorite baseball movie of all time. It is phenomenal, and he is phenomenal. And I adored T'Challa in Black Panther and adored his portrayal of Black Panther. For everything everybody says about how, there is no Iron Man but Robert Downey Jr., the reason they didn't recast Black Panther was because Chadwick Boseman was comic book T'Challa and very good at
they
it.
They will eventually, but it'd be his son. They're already setting
yeah,
that
yeah,
up.
For sure. That's why at the end of the last one they had that whole scene.
It, because you'd be like, oh, he's not trying to be, it's his son. All right, yeah, the next thing that's Xing is Jenna Ortega.
Jenna Ortega. She's been in the news a lot lately. Also the star of the upcoming Beetlejuice 2, which I will tell you, 100% we'll see in theaters because I love Beetlejuice.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Love Beetlejuice.
Your track record, not very strong when it comes to saying you're going to go see
it's
something
the,
in the
when I tell you I have to see this in theaters, I'm seeing it in theater. Deadpool Wolverine had to see it in theaters. It's
out next week, by the way.
Good. Can't wait. But she's also had some interesting takes and controversy. Not like she's done anything bad, but like stuff in her life that's been a little weird. No idea. I will say this. As someone who has always lifelong been attracted to somewhat crazy women, I like Jenna Ortega a lot. I don't want to end the show. I want to listen to Do It. I mean, Debut. For the rest of the ride. All right, that's it for us, ladies and gentlemen. Come back tomorrow because week one of college football season begins tomorrow night. We'll break all those games down and continue to turn our eyes toward the Saturday slate. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. Don't drink or drive. I'll punch you in the face. Have a lovely rest of your day. See you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.